Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. I'm at the European Parliament, where a committee of MEPs has just voted to sue the European Commission for unfreezing billions of euros in funding for Hungary late last year. They say it's time to protect European taxpayers' money from misuse. Meanwhile, Warsaw and the European Commission have unveiled an action plan which involves legal reforms in Poland and ending the EU's infringement procedures against the country, which date back to the previous Conservative government. Well, I'm joined by two MEPs with very different approaches to the issue of the rule of law. Katalin Cseh is a Hungarian politician and vice chair of the Renew Europe group here, and she says that the challenge of her generation is to turn democratic backsliding around and to fight for a European Hungary. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
I'm also very pleased to welcome Dominik Tarczyński, a Polish politician. He's a member of the Bureau of the European Conservatives and Reformists, and he believes in a Europe of sovereign nations which are treated with respect. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with all the turbulent events in Poland over the last couple of months. And Katalin Cseh, I imagine you're quite pleased that Poland is now more closer to your type of politics.
Well, I am not a Polish citizen, but from what I gather is that indeed the Polish citizens chose a different path for their country, a path where women's rights are more respected, where the European identity is felt more closely, when European rules are adhered to because of the joint advancement of this community. That was the choice of the Polish people, and I'm really hoping that Hungarian people will choose the same path very shortly.
Dominik Tarczyński, you obviously don't take the same view on what's happening in Poland.
Well, first of all, very, very basic fact. We have won. Law and Justice won election in Poland. We are the first party in Free Poland since, I would say, 70 years, not including war times.
The coalition, the opposition coalition had a bigger share overall.
That is correct, but yeah. Very important. It's worth to notice that we are the first in the recent history of Poland to win three times in a row. We have won on the way. We have won European elections, presidential elections. We have won again this time. But Donald Tusk was able to create and build the coalition against winning party. That's very important for our viewers. So he managed to build this coalition. He was building his coalition on love language, good relations with EU, being able to get money from EU to do whatever Brussels expect him to do. Well, now we are waiting for the fruits of his politics.
Well, maybe to do what his civic platform program said he was going to do.
Well, you
like
see,
all
civic,
the legal changes and all of that.
Very important to let our viewers know, civic platform was second in our elections, and other four parties voted against Donald Tusk and against Law and Justice. These people who are in a coalition with Donald Tusk did not vote for him. And I do
have a coalition agreement, though. So,
well, coalition agreement is between the political leaders, but not the voters. That's very important. So the most of the nation did not vote for this government, that did not vote for Donald Tusk. He's trying to present himself as Alexander the Great, who has won with the Law and Justice. You lost, Donald Tusk.
But isn't this like a little bit of an interesting take on elections? Because usually governments are formed based on majorities. And if the majority of the voters would coalesce behind parties that share similar agendas, similar enough for a coalition agreement, I think that is a perfectly fine and legitimate way to move forward.
I do agree that it's always based on coalition. But when you see the clashes between the left and Donald Tusk at the moment, it's been only 3 months. After 3 months, they have official clashes on a Twitter fighting and calling themselves names. It's not going to last 4 years. I can take a bet. Katalina, you're ready to take a bet?
Absolutely.
No, you're not. Sorry.
No, I am. Let's take a bet.
Are you?
Of course.
Are you?
Yeah.
So there is a bet for Belgian chocolates that this government will not last 4 years. Are you ready?
I'm totally up for that.
Belgian chocolate.
But the latest opinion polls are still pretty good for civic platform, actually.
Well, for civic platform, but not for the coalition. That is the difference. Anyways, okay, they are making... Okay. The important thing
you haven't bet any money.
No.
I'm perfectly happy to bet Belgian chocolates, and I'm also happy to add...
Important thing is that he took responsibility for what is going on in Poland and central eastern part of Europe. We are talking about Ukraine. He took responsibility for what is going to happen in our relations with Ukraine and with Russia. This is the real threat. Yeah. There's no jokes about it. So our approach was completely different. His approach is completely different.
Okay, let's come on, because we haven't talked much about Hungary, Katalin Chair. What about this move to take a stronger stance on the rule of law and this move in the European Parliament I mentioned in the introduction? Mm. You've said that Europe is at a turning point on the rule of law, both in terms of upholding standards in the EU and in the candidate countries for enlargement?
Well, I absolutely think this regulation, what we have that is called the rule of law conditionality, is an absolute landmark legislation for the future of the European Union. It has to be a very credible barrier against democratic backsliding, against corruption. And the European Commission should only disburse money at the point when every single condition is complied with. This is clearly not the case with Hungary. And this is really pushing the entire European community into a dangerous discussion. And you're very right in bringing Ukraine into the discussion, for instance, because we are really at a historic moment when democracies clash with autocracies. And we need to be a strong democracy within the EU so that we can work together with other democratic partners.
So you're talking about the level of corruption in Ukraine?
I'm talking about the level of corruption in Hungary.
Gotcha. So why then European money went to Bulgaria when EPP man of honor was the prime minister with the highest level of corruption? And there was no problem at all. Then Poland is the lowest, it's the lowest official data from Eurostat. Yeah. And we've been called corrupted country when we have the lowest level of corruption.
I'm not
That's
sure
official data.
Who called Poland a corrupted country.
And politicians from the left side and liberals. This is what we can hear in the chamber.
The rule of law conditionality mechanism is not applied against Poland. It is only applied against the Hungarian government. But as we have this law in place, if you have a report about other countries, Bulgaria, for instance, I'm hopeful that the Commission will look into it in entirety, because
and that's
why we have this law
to safeguard European money. That is the problem, that the whole rule of law thing is used as a political tool. If Orban is not obedient, if Kaczynski is not obedient, let's use the rule of law.
But can I just jump in?
Hypocrisy.
You say it's political, but it was the European Court of Justice and the European Court of Human Rights judges who decided to take those proceedings against the previous Polish government.
Are you talking about the corruption scandal?
I'm just talking about infringement procedures that were decided by the ECJ and the ECHR against Poland in the last few years.
At the same time, we could hear the judges being a part of the hunting with the lobbyists, and no one cares. Are you talking about those judges? Be serious. I mean, when we hear about the biggest corruption scandals like Qatargate, then judges having a hunting run with the lobbyists, and no one cares. Nothing's happening. The credibility
is going down. We're mixing a lot of things in the same basket.
When a prime minister's son-in-law or their friend, who is a former gossiper, becoming the richest man of a European country based on European taxpayers' money, is a donation that was supposed to go elsewhere. This is the problem in Hungary.
Who proved that?
Who can prove that?
If you're going to prove that, go to court.
So, are you
but
okay?
But then the judge will be just back from his hunting run.
Are you okay with the analysis of Olaf, for instance?
No, what I'm saying is that
Olaf,
the EU anti-corruption watchdog.
The EU's anti-corruption watchdog.
What I'm trying to say is, this temple of democracy is full of hypocrisy. That is the problem. The problem is that the majority of left and liberals trying to politically fight with the conservatives using rule of law, judiciary, and this beautiful idea of perfect world, which does not exist, especially when you see judges having a hunting run with lobbyists and top judges. I'm
Dominic,
not talking
sorry,
about
but
the judges.
The hunting run doesn't apply to every single decision that ECHR and ECJ judges have ever made.
It's you who brought this. This
I know, but you're using one hunting story to apply to everything that the judges have ever done.
This hunting story is the biggest scandal in the history of this court. That's number one. The same thing with the Carter Gate. The biggest corruption scandal where resolutions were basically bought to attack or make a great PR to the
others. Is individuals behaving?
No, it's not individuals behaving.
Well, it's individual
that was the
MEPs.
Vice president of the parliament.
Individual MEPs.
What are you talking about?
Well, Qatargate is absolutely a very serious matter. I agree with you, but this is why this House has pushed for and has to continue pushing for more stricter accountability reforms and more stricter scrutiny. We have done that. We have started it. We have to do it with ourselves, just as well with other member states who steal
and
European taxpayers' political
and
money
those,
for
and,
their own purposes.
And those who are under the threat of the jail just left the jail. I'm talking about Qatargate stars, and they are in the plenary just now as we talk. That's what it is,
but,
ladies and gentlemen.
But I don't think that there is a debate about the problems and the trouble the entire Qatargate scandal pushed our European institutions
into. One more sentence. You're trying to point your finger at someone about the corruption, look at the plenaries like 20 meters from here.
But this does not exclude to step up against oligarchs who use European taxpayers' money to make their family rich.
Then you have to prove it. Then you have to go to the court. You can't just come to the studio and say he's corrupted. We have people who were arrested, not only gossips.
There is a European court judgment that this mechanism can be applied against
Hungary.
Do
you want me to go back to the judges? Come on.
Okay, let's stop there. Let's end it there. We've run out of time. But to be continued, I think. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Katalin Che and to Dominik Tarczynski. That's all for this
Thank
edition of Talking Europe. Thank you.
Thank you.